So it feels like an absolute eternity since the last MLS Monday, but I am so glad to say it is back, as always, joined by Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hi, Andy. It's good to be back. And MLS was taking a little bit of a break with the Copa America going on. So, you know, we kind of hit it at the right time to take a little bit of a break ourselves.
Well, yeah, there's been the internationals, but there's also been the MLS action this weekend. And straight away, let's get into this. New York City FC, a team we've talked a lot about on MLS Monday over the episodes. And this weekend, the score sheet looked something like the World Cup in about 2010.
Yeah, it sure did, Andy. New York City FC with a 3-2 win, a bit of a thrilling 3-2 win in the end over the Philadelphia Union, who are on top of the Eastern Conference right now. And it was like the stars aligned, Andy. As you said, 2010 World Cup, Frank Lampard, Andrea Pirlo, and David Villa all playing in the same team, all three scoring, which was amazing, and exactly what supporters of this club would have expected a year ago when they all joined. And it was quite amazing to see and that happening, as we've seen and we've talked about Frank Lampard not really making any impact on the team, and Pirlo just not having that same influence on the side with New York City FC. But in the end, really, we could also talk about the typical New York City defense, nearly throwing the game away, giving up a penalty in the 55th minute that was converted by Roland Alberg, and then an own goal by Frederick Brilliant in the 88th minute, and it was almost a Philadelphia fight back that this game could have ended just as easily as 3-3.
Yeah, when you look at the standings in the East, you've got City, who are third, Red Bulls in second, Philadelphia, actually the team who top the conference at the moment. Are you looking at the sides around and seeing maybe Montreal Impact, who are just below, or Toronto FC? Do you see them maybe jumping into that top three, or do you think actually that top set looks pretty solid now that they're a good three set of teams?
Well, speaking about the Red Bulls, who got off to a very, very bad start this season, they've really kicked on winners in their last four games. And I really think I eye them as being the top team in the East by the time things settle later this year. Now, with the two Canadian teams, Montreal and Toronto, Montreal, you know, they're an up-and-down side this season, and really getting Drogba on form will really help them. But as I said, they're a bit up-and-down right now. Toronto FC, so reliant on Sebastian Giovinco, and really one of the best things they could have had was him not going to the Euros. They've had him stay there with Toronto and you know, stay in shape and stay fit, so that was really good for them. But again, they're a team too reliant on Giovinco, and I really don't see them cracking that top three. New England is really a wild card for me. They picked up Ki Kamara, as we talked about a few weeks ago. He's now their top striker, and they've got a really good set of players there, but again, it's finding that consistency, which is what a lot of MLS teams fail to do at this time during the season. But you know, we'll see what happens when we kick on towards August and September.
Just while we're in the East, a team who came to people's attentions over this side of the pond when Sean Maloney signed for them. He departed not long after having signed, but that's Chicago Fire. It's at the bottom of the conference and rubbish, really.
Yes, Andy, and this is the same thing for the last few years now. The Chicago Fire have been one of the worst teams in MLS, losers of four of their last six. And it was a team that everybody thought was going to, you know, really have a good season. They made a few moves. They've got two decent designated players in Jimmy Igbonike and David Akam, who have played quite well. But it's that cast of players around them that, you know, isn't really up to par to really help them. And some interesting things, you know, Chicago is a very proud city with their sports. They've got a lot of great world-famous sports teams. But Chicago just really, you know, they're really letting down the soccer fans of Chicago as well as MLS. And this is a team with a great history in the league. They were the first domestic double winners in the league in 1998. And it's a team that's really fallen by the wayside in MLS. And interestingly, the NASL, which is the second division of U.S. soccer, are thinking about expanding into Chicago to put a team basically to rival the Fire in the city. And I think that's quite an interesting move if it comes off. I mean, it's just talk right now, but you know, they're interested in going head-to-head with Chicago for the soccer fans in the city.
Do you think the Fire fans might actually jump ship to this other team? I mean, I can remember when Chicago were winning it back at the end of the 90s. They were runners-up then a couple of times in the early noughties. I mean, are football fans that fickle? Or, I mean, I don't want, you know, like, you know, cast aspersions on the Fire fans, but is that something that you could see happen? Or might you just end up with two teams in the city with the same amount of fans, but shared between the two, if you see what I mean, to half of the fans in each?
Well, in the last few years, whenever Chicago went under some new ownership, a lot of the hardcore fans that had been around since the early days, those late 90s when the team was playing in the oversized Chicago Soldier Field, they're the ones that are really vocal and really unhappy about the ownership and the way the team has basically been heading in the last few years, which is basically down. Really, there's no place else to go now. They've finished last in the last few seasons. But, you know, it'd be really interesting to see a second team move into Chicago and to try to take these fans, because I think that's kind of the idea, is that they would try to give these fans something that they've been lacking in the last few years. And again, like I said, it would be very interesting to see if Allegiance would move sides. But, you know, anything can happen in U.S. soccer, as I think we've found out in the last several years.
Really, anything can happen in U.S. soccer. Let's go from Chicago, bottom of the East, to the top of the West. Colorado looking very solid.
They are, and this is such a surprise this season. Colorado, who was one of the poorer sides in the last year or two, they are flying high right now. Top of MLS overall, 31 points. And they're really getting a lot of good production out of players that we really didn't expect it to come from. Marco Papa has been very, very good for Colorado this year. They got him from Seattle Sounders in the offseason. They've also signed Jermaine Jones, who's a U.S. international, and he's been playing very, very well this season. And it's only going to get stronger for Colorado. They're going to, in July, they'll get Tim Howard. He's signed on a free, so he'll be joining the team. And this is a team who doesn't give up a lot of goals. Five clean sheets this season. Only one time have they given up more than one goal in a game. And this is a team really on the rise. And as I said, very unexpected this season, but they're doing it with defense. And they're looking really good.
What about the head coach, Pablo Mastroianni? I remember him as a player. He seems to have his stock rising, I guess, with what he's doing in Colorado.
And that's, again, like I said, they're a surprising team. And really a lot of people had written him off as a coach. A lot of people didn't think that he had the tactical mind behind Colorado and the ability to really coach this team. A lot of people had given up on him after last year's poor season, but he's really come on leaps and bounds as a coach this year. Now, perhaps that could be down to some of the players that they brought in, Marco Papa and Jermaine Jones, who has a lot of good experience. But he's getting a lot of a lot of output from these players that really weren't doing much in the previous season. So you've got to give him a bit of praise for what he's done in Colorado this year.
Let's just turn our focus onto something different for a minute, Drew. Obviously, as well as being here on MLS Monday, you also write for the likes of World Soccer Talk and so on. And I know you've got another article you've been writing that you're keen to talk about.
This article will appear in the new issue of Hopeless Football Romantic, which will be coming out at the end of this week, and people can order that online at hopelessfootballromantic.com. They can get a digital copy, or if you're old school and you want to get the physical copy, they go for that. But it's an article I've written about U.S. soccer, and it's about the early days of forming a league in the U.S., and this goes back to 1967 after the famous English win at the World Cup, in which some businessmen decided they were going to bring soccer to the U.S. and formed a league called the USA that lasted just a mere 1 year. So a really interesting story, a little bit of U.S. soccer history, and you get to find out about the teams that they imported to play in North America at that time. So a really interesting story, and I urge people to check out Hopeless Football Romantic if they like their niche football magazine.
I won't ask you for any spoilers about the start of that league, because obviously we need to read the article. But I'm fascinated by that. You know from me, Drew, anything US and soccer related, I'm fascinated by. So yeah, we'll check that out. And Drew, for this week, it's been great to get you back on for MLS Monday.
Well, it's great to be back, Andy, and I look forward to the rest of the summer.